Can you hear me? Thank you, Eric. I actually saw a poll last week that reported that 80% of Americans believe our country is currently out of control. And really, not only our country, but the world. And to many, the COVID-19 crisis and all the racial inequity and unrest throughout our country at this time, a new incident over the weekend, it really looks like chaos, does it not? Raise your hand if you think it looks like chaos. It does. I mean, I think we could all agree with that. However, New Thought metaphysicians see chaos in a different light. In the text, The Creative Process, this is a text used at the classes in the Unity Institute, the authors write, "We begin by acknowledging and accepting the presence of chaos, the darkness that might be present in our life experiences. Darkness preceded each day of creation. Our choice is to affirm that in the chaos, God's good is present." Chaos does not necessarily mean a disorderly or confused mess. We can use the chaos and the darkness in our lives to break up crystallized thinking, thus opening the full range of infinite potential and possibilities. This means that when things appear to be out of order, there is really an order we may not realize. As Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore writes in The Mysteries of Genesis, order is the first law of the universe. Indeed, there could be no universe unless its various parts were kept in perfect harmony. The title of today's message is Out of Order, okay? So, today's daily word addressed the order in nature. Consider the sun rises and sets, spring follows winter, beautiful constellations appear in the night sky in perfect patterns, the acorn drops and an oak tree forms. Even what might seem catastrophic, like floods and wildfires, can be nature's way of adjusting conditions for balance and long-term benefit for the environment. All growth occurs in perfect sequence because of the laws of nature. And the perfect order of the natural realm is a manifestation of spiritual order, a divine intelligence underlining all of life. Now, in Unity, we affirm that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives, God, the good, omnipotent. Do we not? Is it too hard to talk with your mask on? Can you say that with me, just this one thing? Can you say our statement with me? There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God, the good, omnipotent. That means that this dynamic force we call God is constantly working to express in us, through us, and as us. In her book, The God-Given Potential, Unfolding the 12 Spiritual Powers, Winifred Hausman, poses this compelling question. Why is it that humankind, considered to be the highest form of life, seems to have so much difficulty in establishing harmony, right relationships, and orderly growth, while the plants, animals, and birds go along living as they are intended to live, doing what they are supposed to do? Good question, right? Her answer is that while all life forms have a built-in intelligence that helps them adjust to their environment, we humans also have the freedom of choice and the expanded power to create. In other words, Myrtle Fillmore says, we are free agents. There's that pesky little thing about free will, right? We have free choice. We can think consciously and critically, make decisions, and determine the direction of our lives. We know, and we talk about this a lot in Unity, that as spiritual beings having a human experience, we dwell in two realms. The absolute realm is that unchanging realm of divine principle, the sum total of all ideas and their purity and power. Ideas like wholeness, life, love, peace, harmony, and goodness. We also, however, dwell in the relative realm, this constantly changing outer world where things can temporarily go awry, right? However, here's the good news. As we turn within to the absolute kingdom of God, all things in the relative realm have the potential to be healed and transformed. Unity Minister Eric Butterworth says, no matter how real or frightening a situation may seem, it is still a transitory thing. Only the good is real and lasting. So, when things seem out of control, we can manifest harmony as we use the spiritual law of divine order to bring divine ideas into this physical realm. Now, Reverend Paul Hesselbeck and Bill Holton tell us that phrase divine order is probably the most misunderstood phrase in New Thought. In their book, Get Over It, some of you will remember we dipped into that a little bit a couple years ago. In their book, Get Over It, they write, most people get divine order out of order. Often the phrase is used to mean divine predetermination. You know, the idea that that deity up in the sky is a master puppeteer pulling our strings in some predestined order. Eric Butterworth wrote, the only predestiny in life is the ultimate unfoldment of the divine creature you are. And the direction you take in realizing and manifesting the indwelling Christ will always be determined by your own consciousness. Just last week, I overheard a woman in the grocery store say to her daughter, direct quote, I wrote it down, this virus is not going away anytime soon because it's God's way of punishing us for our sins. I know, I didn't go correct her. You'll be proud of me in a way. I wanted to. But this viewpoint is, you know, it's still out there. And it sees God as separate, vengeful, and the direct cause of all of our suffering, all of our earthly problems. This concept of the divine limits people and leaves them feeling controlled, powerless, and fearful. And thank goodness we have a different theology. In New Thought, however, often we tend to use those words divine order to describe an event that goes well in our lives, do we not? But actually, as today's Daily Word said, divine order exists all the time, even though we may not realize it. Paul Hesselbeck writes in the book Power Up, understood in a more empowering way, divine order is the orderly sequence by which everything comes into existence. Anne discussed this last week in her lesson in the context of working through challenges. It's the metaphysical trinity of, I won't embarrass anybody by asking what it is, okay? Mind, idea, expression. Remember that from last week? We hold an idea in mind, something as mundane as cleaning out the closet or something as spiritual as experiencing a healing. We hold the idea in mind, then we imagine it, we envision it, and we use our Christ powers to bring it into manifestation. As Linda Martello Witsit writes, God is not some superhuman imposing order on us. God is order, the organizing principle that underlies all life. Nor is divine order the correction of some unhappy condition, but it is an integrated arrangement of energy in a pattern, sequence, or method. One, with the intelligence of divine mind, we catch hold of divine ideas and bring them into expression. In the midst of disharmony, we can be peace. In the midst of hatred, we can be love. In the midst of uncertainty and fear, we can be faith. Order is one of our 12 spiritual powers. And Jesus explains the orderly process in the scripture that Lynn read this morning. It's an agrarian metaphor based on ear corn, and I'm going to repeat it. It is, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. Now, metaphysical Bible scholars tell us the stalk represents the period when truth is implanted in our minds. The ear represents growth and development of spiritual ideas, and the full kernel symbolizes manifestation of bringing forth those ideas. Here we go, mind, idea, and expression. Sometimes in our human skins, though, we get a little impatient, do we not? I do. We don't want to deal with the darkness. We want to control the chaos and move immediately into the light at the end of the tunnel. I have heard so many people say, I'm done with this virus. Very understandable. I think we all feel that way, where I'm just not sure if the virus is done with us. But Jesus addressed this, and remember what happened. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the Judean wilderness. Wilderness symbolizes undisciplined thoughts. And when he emerged, Jesus had a clear sense of his divine mission and spiritual powers. And our divine mission, the reason we are on this earth, is to realize and live from our divinity, to bring forth those divine ideas of love, peace, and joy. And that takes as long as it takes. As today's Daily Word said, even in the winter, when things seem barren, divine order is unfolding in our lives and in the world. So what does this really mean for us in our daily lives? Well, the good news is, it means if you're not happy with the direction of your life, you can actually turn it around. The Greek word translated as repentance was metanoia, meaning to turn around, change one's mind. Repentance has nothing to do with sin and shame. It's about redirection. It's like driving down the highway and deciding you're going the wrong way, pulling off on an exit and turning around. It's about turning our pivotal souls away from past regrets and outer appearances to the heavenly state of the Christ within. Now, this doesn't mean we deny negative conditions in our lives. We're here today all wearing masks. But it means that we recognize there is a greater reality. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." To overcome the world is to get into a higher level of consciousness, to claim our spiritual powers. It is never too late to repent and change our minds. There's a story about a woman who was known to be a complainer, constantly moaning about the way life treated her. Well, needless to say, people tended to avoid her, and guess what? Then she complained about having no friends. Finally, a neighbor, trying to help her, said, "You are tearing yourself up about many things. Why not let all of those outer problems go and center on inner peace?" Well, the unrelenting woman looked incredulous and replied, "Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't possibly do that. I think when the Lord sends me tribulations, it's my duty to tribulate." Well, Eric Butterworth says, he shares this story in the book In the Flow of Life, and he says, that woman was wrong on two counts. Number one, the Lord does not send any tribulations. Difficulties in our lives or in any kind of human relationship come because someone, or I might add, lots of someones sometimes, are out of the consciousness of love and harmony. And secondly, our responsibility is, as the word implies, our response to God's ability. In other words, it's what ideas we choose to hold in mind. We can choose to hold divine ideas of faith, love, and strength, or we can choose to hold lesser ideas of fear, hatred, and weakness. Mind idea expression works both ways. Charles Fillmore writes, "We can never exercise dominion," and I would add over outer circumstances, "until we know who and what we are. And knowing that, bring forth the knowledge of ourselves, our divine identity, into the external by exercising it in divine order, which is, he says, mind, idea, and expression, also called the universal creative process. When the poet Robert Frost was asked the secret of his happiness and optimism, how he could possibly be so upbeat about everything all the time, he replied, "Every morning upon arising, I make it a practice to do two things. First, I make up my bed, and secondly, I make up my mind. And as I smooth out the wrinkles in the bed covers, I just imagine smoothing out the wrinkles in my mind, getting my mind in order. Then with my mind made up, I go down to breakfast and I face whatever the day has in store. I allow nothing to disturb the peace of my soul." What good advice, right? Butterworth calls this a tremendous realization by the great poet. He advises that the important thing is to make up your mind whether or not you make up your bed. Making up your mind is more important. Get yourself mentally and spiritually prepared for the day. Too often, what we give our minds for breakfast is a review of all the horrible things going on in the world, and we get sucked into believing everything is out of order and we are powerless. We need to start our day looking up, not looking down. Before many of Jesus' miracles, he looked up. And the old thinking was he's looking up to God in heaven, but looking up represents he's looking to a higher consciousness. Now, this is not in any way to discount the sadness, grief, and pain of injustice, abuse, or disease. There's lots of horrible things going on right now in the outer world. It simply means to look up to a greater reality and a better world. We can pray, lovingly listen to one another, connect with empathy, and offer compassion to those who are hurting. In lifting our consciousness, we can lift the conversation and be guided to spiritual right action. Eric Butterworth says, "The problem is that too many of us practice the presence of God for a few moments in the morning and then practice the absence of God for the rest of the day." That's a compelling statement. God is omnipresent goodness, able to express fully at every point of the universe. There's no place or situation where God is not, meaning we can find and bring goodness to the most horrific of life experiences. Our co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, wrote that all experiences that try your faith are just opportunities for you to make the good manifest. We're actually going to take that into meditation in a few moments. The point is, when I hold in mind that I am created in the image and likeness of God and that God looked at all creation and called it good, I realize that my own innate goodness and potential is there, not only for me, but for all of humankind. Each one of us is on this earth to be all that we can imagine God to be. Because we are God expressing, we can be agents of wholeness, agents of love, agents of peace. We can draw upon divine ideas and become a force for good in the world. I worked once with an amazing school principal who ended every single faculty meeting by saying, "Just remember, these kids and some of these parents are not bringing you challenges, they're only bringing you opportunities." So, as we begin to emerge from this current physical isolation and public unrest, we have new opportunities to recreate ourselves personally, to recreate our spiritual community, and to recreate the world. We have to ask, what are we called to be now? So maybe little Alice was right. Maybe the perfect divine order we call God is the force that keeps us right side up when the world seems to be upside down. Now is the time for us to realize that we are never out of order. And so it is. God bless you and have a good week. Thank you.